Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome back. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, during the break, I was reading about the issues the Sabres are going through. And with Jack Eichel, it's obviously not the relationship you want your captain to have with the organization. And it's made me think, as we slowly get back to the office, as the state is going to say 75% capacity starting Saturday. So for all of you that go to your office job on Saturday. But as we start getting back to the office and you see what's going on with the Buffalo Sabres, have you ever loved a job? Absolutely loved what you do, but someone there or some people there made it so toxic, you actually left the job you love just to get away from that situation. I'm not saying that's what's going on with the Buffalo Sabres. It sounds like for some players, it might be a toxic situation. And it makes me think, is that something that's happened to you? We might do this tomorrow. You know, a job that, say you got it right out of college. Maybe that's a bad setup. You got it like 10 years into your career, 20 years into whatever it is you do. And it's an office job, so, you know, you have to work with other people. Maybe you're at a cubicle, maybe you have an office. And you loved it. You got there, like, this is a great job. But maybe the person at the cubicle next to you, or the person you always ran into in the lunchroom, or just someone that was there, it was just always giving you this, like, negative vibe. And it got to the point where this job you loved, the job you loved doing, the job you might have, I wouldn't say dreamed of doing, but a job that you felt you really wanted to do, like playing hockey. But the situation you were in got so toxic, it took away from the being able to enjoy whatever your job is. Playing hockey for Jack Eichel, whatever that job is for you. I think we can combine going back to offices and that. Something we might talk about tomorrow. But you see the two players, the Sabres, as Paul Hamilton said, They tanked for these players. They threw away seasons for these players. And those two players don't really seem to want to be here anymore. And yeah, you can trade and maybe get back something for the future. But it makes those two throwaway seasons, literally throwaway seasons, if you let those two players go. It's a very interesting situation, and you look at the two Buffalo sports teams, you have the Sabres that just can't figure it out. I mean, the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, I was in college. It was my last year of college. You know, Tyler Ennis, Ryan Miller was still on the team. But now you look at the Buffalo Bills, I mean, Super Bowl contender, AFC championship contender, probably going to win the division, Josh Allen. It's so interesting to have the two teams in this sports town be so polar opposite. And hey, we've been there. Remember in the President Trophy year, the Bills weren't the talk of the NFL, at least not the positive talk of the NFL. So we've done this the other way in Buffalo in the recent past. But to see it now happening completely 180 to where the Sabres are not the talk of the NHL in the good way, and the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you know, you go online and play Madden. You never had someone wanting to be the Bills on online Madden. Now look. You know, I go on there and sometimes I don't play as the Bills. I like playbooks of other teams, and I'm playing against the Bills. It's great to see people being fans outside of Buffalo, especially kids. You know, watching, oh, I like that Josh Allen. I like the Bills. I'm going to start wearing a Bills jersey. It's so awesome to see that. But then downtown to see a completely different situation happening. Hopefully, we can get to a point where we're like Boston and all our sports teams are relevant and good. Wouldn't you like that? I'd love that. I know my teams are a little different than yours. I'd love the Bills and Sabres in the Stanley Cup, in the Super Bowl. I like the Mets in the World Series. Virginia Tech in the national championship. Oh my gosh, it would be great. You know, you see these people in Boston, they have a parade every year. One of those four teams is going to win. I'd like to know what that's like. But we are talking this hour about getting back to college, and an interesting comment. I wouldn't say it's we didn't expect it, right? I mean, all signs point to this is where it was heading. But for Andrew Cuomo to say to go back to a SUNY college, you will have to have a COVID-19 vaccine. My argument is that is going to take a lot of people out of the running to go to a SUNY school. There are either parents that don't want to give their children the vaccine, or there are college students, you know, 19 years old, who say, you know what, I don't really think the COVID-19 virus is an issue for me. And it's what we were talking about in the first hour. My loved ones around me, the high-risk individuals, have gotten the vaccine. I don't want to be forced into getting this vaccine. But now if you go to a SUNY school, and we have some right here in the area, you'll be forced to say, hey, I had the vaccine. You know, when I redid my HIPAA agreement yesterday when I went to the doctor, I don't remember putting Andrew Cuomo on my HIPAA form. I mean, we do still have privacy, right? We do still get to make that choice, my body, my choice. That's still a thing, right? If you trust the vaccine, if you trust the COVID vaccine, if you trust the Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, you know, this has been my argument all along. I'm looking at science. Remember, we're supposed to follow the science. Well, the science says, unless there are underlying issues, the youths of America are fine. They're not at high risk for the virus COVID-19. And that includes college-aged students. Again, take those that have the underlying issues. That's a completely different situation. And as you know, I have been urging people, hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body. I've been urging people to get the vaccine. But I do think when we're talking younger people, I do think we should be able to let anyone make that choice. But we should definitely not be forcing a vaccine on younger people, especially from the year of research we have that shows they are not at high risk. Again, this is not a medical opinion. I am not a doctor. I'm giving you my opinion from what I've observed over the last year, what I have read over the last year, what I have seen over the last year. Not everywhere in this country has been like New York State. There are college kids in a classroom right now. There are college kids who have been going to class this entire semester. I think what happens when SUNY says you're going to have to be vaccinated to go on campus, you are going to have individuals who are going to say, I guess I'm not going to UB. I guess I'm not going to Buff State. I'll look at Medi. I'll look at Damon, who came out and said you will not be required to have a vaccine. That doesn't mean you're not encouraging the vaccine. That doesn't mean you're, because everything has a label now. Everything has a label. If you say, I don't want to force anyone to have the vaccine, all of a sudden you're an anti-vaxxer. I can't tell you the number of times I've gone on social media. And again, I know, Joe, stop talking about social media. I can't tell you the number of times I go on social media and people say, a comment I said that I'm an anti-vaxxer. I don't know how I'm an anti-vaxxer when I get the flu shot every year and I've had the COVID-19 vaccine. But I'm also a reasonable person who looks at the facts. I'm a reasonable person who remembers that I have the choice. I had a choice not to get the vaccine. I have a choice not to get a flu shot. I also have a choice to go where I want to go to school. And if you're going to force me to do something that I might not feel comfortable about, I'm 18, maybe I had COVID, right? I'm not going to go to a... I probably already wrote off SUNY schools to begin with. Can you imagine if you're a senior in high school right now, for the last year, you've been doing most of your classes on a computer. Maybe you saw not. Maybe you saw your grades suffer. Maybe you saw your social life suffer. If I was a senior in high school, and I've experienced the last year, I would make sure all the schools I apply to are in Florida, the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas. I wouldn't be applying to schools in the North. I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want the chance of having to go back to a year of online classes. I'm not going to an online school. So even before this announcement was made yesterday, if 18-year-old Joe Beamer actually had a choice of schools, believe me, they would not be in New York State. That would be the last place I would look. And I love Medi College. But if I had a senior year, the end of my junior year and senior year were me staring at a computer screen for 8 hours. If I had struggled when it comes to my social life, hanging out with people, and I know that that could happen again, I would not accept. If I had already applied to a school in New York State, I'd say, I'm sorry. All my applications are going down south, most likely Florida. Most likely a school in Florida. And that's nothing against the great institutions we have in New York State, because we have some of the best. But I am not going to risk learning on a screen again for a year. And I'm not going to be told what to do. At 18 years old, I'm not going to be told that I need this vaccine when I look at kids who have been going to school. There hasn't been huge outbreaks at schools down south. Now, you want to talk about colleges, and you had some outbreaks when it came to college football, when it came to college basketball? Yes. And what was the result of those outbreaks? Those kids, those student athletes recovered, and they continued playing. And again, that's the case for most under the age of 18. I would say under the age of 21. Not a medical opinion, but from what we've observed, would you not agree that when we had those outbreaks, right? Believe me, watching Virginia Tech this season, a lot of there were games canceled because of outbreaks. There were outbreaks on the team. Guess what? Those players recovered and they played. And if I'm an 18-year-old and I'm seeing that, and this vaccine is new, I know that I'm not at high risk. I know the people who are high risk around me have had the vaccine. Why am I forced to rush and make that decision? I want to know what you think. 803-0930. Are you a college student? Maybe you're halfway through at a SUNY school, and with this announcement yesterday, you're, I don't know. Maybe you're reconsidering going back in September. And if you're a parent of a college student, what do you think about this? Does this just take SUNY right off the list? Even if I was, because at 32, fully vaccinated, but even if I was at 18 fully vaccinated, I would still just, like I said, I'm going to be uncomfortable committing to going back in New York State where I might be thrown into a computer screen again. And I understand, you know, technology, Joe, get with the times. I'm a millennial. Of course I'm with the times. But, you know, I talked about this early on in the pandemic. I told people last year, if you were a senior in high school last year, take the year off. Because college, yes, you're there to learn. But there is so much more about going to college. You know, some of my best friends are people I met in college. A lot of people that I still am in contact with are friends I met in college. You know, you learn a lot more than just what they teach you in school in college. And if they take a year of that away from you, from learning in front of a computer screen, you know, I would be very cautious to go back and have that risk again. And I put myself in that situation right now. If I was looking at schools, lived the last 18 months, maybe saw my grade struggle, Yeah, I wouldn't want to be put back in that position. And then you throw this at me that I have to be vaccinated to walk back into into college. I have to tell them that I'm vaccinated. I have to offer up that information. Personally, not an issue for me. I've told everyone listening a million times that I'm fully vaccinated. I mean, to the point where people are texting, Joe, stop saying it. We get it. The point I say that is to illustrate that I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but that there are reasonable reasons for certain people to not get the vaccine. It's very reasonable. And I think if you're under the age of 21, you have a reasonable reason to say, I'm going to wait and see. And to the people I care about, they're vaccinated. I'm not going to carry this virus to them. I want to know what you think. 803-0930. Star 930. Let's go to Priscilla in Williamsville. Priscilla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. A few thoughts on this. I really feel like we've been dropped on our heads. The establishment, in my mind, has no credibility, and for really the following reasons. Number one, the virus has a 99.7% survival rate with basically no risk to young people. There's very successful therapeutics that have been blocked in order to push this shot. Why would that be? Doctors are being censored if they have a dissenting opinion, which is extremely suspicious to me. I'm flabbergasted that adults are pulling up their sleeves for something that is experimental and cannot be reversed. When previous trials of these types of products ended badly with the animal subjects all dying at the end. And finally, I think, you know, there's mothers who would likely not go near an Advil or a glass of wine while they were pregnant that are now willing to put this concoction into their children. I just don't get it. And thank you.
Priscilla, I appreciate your opinion. 803-0930. And that opinion is out there. I will say to the therapeutics, the ones they're using now, you know, after a year of having COVID-19 be out there, there are better therapeutics in the hospitals that they're using. I have seen it. And, you know, I think a lot more people that COVID-19 may have been fatal to a year ago. I think you have a better chance now because of those therapeutics. That is in no way saying don't get the vaccine. I am just saying I think we have better ways of handling COVID-19 in hospitals from what I, not a medically educated person, have seen. So I think the therapeutics over the last year, they know what to use. They've got more of a handle on this when it comes to that. But Priscilla, you know, again, that's an opinion of a lot of people. A lot of those on the hesitancy end of the vaccine. And that is their right to be hesitant. It is an 18-year-old's right to be hesitant. If you don't feel comfortable, again, you know the risks of COVID-19. You know the risks of going out and smoking. The state of New York lets you smoke. You know the risks of COVID-19. If you don't want to get the vaccine, that should be your right. That should be your right at 55, and that should be your right at 18. And for now, SUNY schools to say, hey, we're not going to let you through these doors if you're not vaccinated. You know, I would understand that at certain places of business. Fine. I'd understand that at a nursing home. I don't understand that at a college. And I will go back to my original thought. You're going to hear me say it over again and again. If I am vaccinated, I could not care less if the person next to me is vaccinated. If someone walked in here right now and wanted to do the last 90 minutes of the show with me, they weren't vaccinated, I would not care. I trust the vaccine. And if you had the vaccine, didn't you get it because you trust that it would protect you from a severe case of COVID-19? I just don't get this obsession with making sure that everyone gets the vaccine. I do not understand that. And now it's starting at the college level. I'm sorry, does that make me a science denier? No, I think I'm supporting science. I think I'm saying I trust the vaccine enough. If you don't want to get it, that's great. Let's go do a party. If you don't want to get the COVID vaccine, that's on you. That is your responsible That's your opinion. And no one should take that opinion away from you. And no one should force you to do anything. And if you're not vaccinated, really, I don't care. I have it. You don't have to have it. That's how I feel. 803-0930. We're back after this. Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Taking a look at the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. You can still spread the disease if you're vaccinated. I didn't say you couldn't. Yes, we've heard that. We know that's up for question, but we know that there is a possibility of you passing on the virus if you're vaccinated. My point is, you know the risk if you're not vaccinated. So I don't understand let me rephrase that. We are going to get to a point where you have to say people that haven't gotten vaccinated know the risk. Yes, texter, that risk could be that someone who is vaccinated might still have COVID or be able to spread COVID. Yes. Again, that is something people who are not getting the vaccine knows. That's a risk they know. You talk to anyone who's hesitant, they know the virus is there and they know the risk. My point is, what is this obsession with forcing people who don't want to get the vaccine to get the vaccine, especially those who are younger, who have proven where not just research, where everyday life has proven the virus does not have the same effect. They have at most a mild case of COVID. And put the disclaimer out there, for underlying students, for underlying with anyone with underlying issues, yes, it's a different situation, okay? But when I say that people who are unvaccinated know the risk, texter, that's what I'm talking about. They know that risk as well. 803-0930, star 930. Let's go to Rachel, who is in Buffalo. Rachel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What do you think about this mandate from the governor?
Well, I work at a SUNY school, and I think it's ridiculous. We're already fighting to get students to come to college, and that's just going to discourage more. But we were notified that he can't even mandate that until the vaccine gets approved by the FDA. And after that, it would still have to be voted on by both SUNY and the CUNY boards. So him saying it doesn't mean it's going to actually happen.
Rachel, let me ask you, are you, if you want to tell me, are you vaccinated?
I am.
So do you care if...
I can go places.
But since you're vaccinated, do you care if other people are vaccinated or not?
No.
Exactly. Rachel, thank you so much for the call. So it's what the governor has put out there to say, but according to Rachel, it has to get voted on and it has to be an approved vaccine. So I appreciate that call, that clarification. Let's go to Brenda in Buffalo. Hey, Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What do you think of SUNY saying you got to be vaccinated?
I can see their point because I'm going to tell you, okay, I know everybody's probably tired of hearing this. In 1973, when I contracted the TB, I was a student at Buff State College. I was also tutoring, and we were partying. We were doing a whole lot. Plus, I can remember during that year, I had bragged about how I had never been sick in my life. I had never had to be in the hospital and be sick. I got hit pretty bad. I'm looking at the students that come to the school. They're coming from around the world. There's different COVID rates all the way around the world. Even yesterday, I remember somebody saying about Schumer going to the bridge, opening it up, and Canada has a rate high. So if they're scared of opening the bridge for that, what's the sense, you know, why not do it? Be afraid of the kids getting vaccinated. However, I'm not saying this, and I want it to be known. I'm not saying that it should be forced upon it, but another thing, too, is if they choose not to get it, it's a good learning experience for a college student on what your decisions, how your decisions lie. If you choose not to get it, you're going to have to deal with the consequences if you get it or whether or not it passes you by. It's just it's you get it or you don't. But then you also have to stand by your decision.
I understand that, Brenda. And again, I understand trying to encourage. I'm more encouraging people that are at high risk of getting the vaccine and not really putting all this focus on college students. But I understand your point, and I appreciate the call, Brenda. Thank you.
Okay.
Brenda in Buffalo opens a line for you. No, I understand. I've been trying to urge people to get the vaccine who are at high risk, who are older, who are like me and just want to go out and have fun, want to go out and live their life. But I am not one of these people who is, vaccinated, but still masking up when I go outside, still masking up when I get in my car. So maybe I'm not the best person to put this opinion out there. I mean, I'm the person, after I got my second shot, I didn't even want to wait the 2 weeks. I was ready to go to a crowded party, so maybe I'm not the best person to comment on this. But when we're talking colleges, we're talking anyone forcing you to have the vaccine just to attend, I personally think that's a bad look. I don't think encouraging the vaccine is a bad look. No. I think you need different people encouraging the vaccine, not the same politicians, as I said in the first hour. I think forcing it, I think it's a bad look. And I think you're just going to have an issue with students not wanting to go to school there. And as I said at the beginning of this hour, I think you're already going to have that issue because you're going to have kids seeing what happened over the last year and saying they do not want to risk having to learn in front of a computer again. If they wanted to do that, they'd go to an online school. You go to college, you go away to college, live on campus as part of the experience. If I'm going to have to learn in front of a screen at my bed in my bedroom at my parents' house, then you know what? I'll pay less and I'll go to an online school. And I think that went through a lot of kids' heads over the last year. And now you're adding this next barrier that I think is going to eliminate these schools from more students' lists. And again, it's not denying the virus. It's not being an anti-vaxxer. It is being a reasonable person who weighs the pros and the cons, and it is someone making a decision they have the right to make. If you don't trust the vaccine, if the only way the vaccine works is for everyone to be vaccinated, you probably should have said that from the beginning. What about people who have had COVID? That doesn't add to the herd immunity? I will keep saying this. I don't understand this obsession. The obsession to just everyone get the vaccine. I don't care, get the vaccine. No, people have the right to make a reasonable decision based on their health and based on their children's health. And I don't think a school telling you have to get it to get back is going to change a parent's mind or change a child who is on their way to college's mind. If they don't want to get the vaccine, they're just not going to a SUNY school. I think it's pretty unfortunate, if you ask me, for the SUNY schools. Let's go to Jay, who's in Buffalo. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Jay. What do you think of all this?
Joe, here's what I think. I have grandkids that go to school. Two have been in school all year. They go to parochial school. No vaccines. No issues. Two go to public schools. Have went to school one day a week. Education, anxiety, everything has suffered. I think when governors are allowed to make these type of decisions, they hurt our children. Now what's going to happen is we have legislators, and this has been my whole point through this whole pandemic, we have legislators who we've elected to be our voice, who have stood silent as he's mandated rule after rule after rule. So we elect these people to be our voice. We elect these people to make reasonable decisions. And if I one more time hear about experts making these decisions, the experts, if it was up to the experts, we wouldn't have a vaccine yet. If it was up to the experts, everything would still be closed. They won't have reasonable decisions. And Joe, I speak as a currently vaccinated person. I speak as a Democrat my entire life. I have never been so disappointed in this pandemic and the politicalization of this pandemic as anything else in my life, and I'm 62 years old.
Jay, I thank you for the call. Very powerful. Thank you, Jay, in Buffalo. And as Jay said, this is not a left versus right thing. But you look at Albany. You look at the people we voted in. As Jay said, we voted in to be our voice. And they have, until recently, decided they were just going to pass all that power to Governor Cuomo. They were going to give up their voice, which in turn gave up our voice. And they let Governor Cuomo talk for Western New York, for Northern New York, for Central New York. He talked for the entire state. But the point of the houses in Albany is to represent the districts of the state. And for almost a year, those that get paid to be our voice handed that power over. Very few talked. And you know what? I will give all the credit I can to Pat Burke, a Democrat, who was the first to say, we need to get our power back. Why is this guy still making all the decisions without running them by us? Which, as a Democrat in New York, I'm sure was not easy. But he came out publicly, he wrote an op-ed, and he said, it's time for us to be the voice again. Why is Governor Cuomo making decisions for Western New York? He doesn't know the difference between the 90 and the 33. I mean, he doesn't think chicken wings are a meal. Why is this guy making our decisions? Jay's 100% on. We need our voice in Albany. Not so much from Governor Cuomo. 803-0930. Let's go to Jill in East Aurora. Hey, Jill.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jill. What do you think?
Oh, God, I'm just sickened. I work in clinical trials, okay? I work in the pharmaceutical industry for over two decades. I worked on vaccine trials. Anybody who gets this vaccine that does not have major comorbidities is absolutely crazy. So this is not technically a vaccine, and I'm sure you know this already. This is something that works with your DNA to create spike proteins. It's not a technical vaccine in the traditional sense where we're using a live or weakened or dead virus to elicit an antibody response. This is something completely different. It typically takes at least 10 years to find out whether a vaccine is safe and effective, okay? 10 years minimum. What are we on this vaccine now, 6 months? At this point, we have no idea if this thing is safe or effective. We have no idea what the long-term effects are. Nobody under the age of 70 minimum without any comorbidities needs this vaccine. And any parents listening to me, please listen to me. Do not give this vaccine to your child. Do not.
All right. Jill in East Aurora. Again, that is Jill's opinion. And we are open to all opinions here at 803-0930. Star 930, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, is open at 803-0930. Is Jay in Buffalo back? Did he have another comment, or is this a different Jay in Buffalo?
No, this is a different Jay.
Jay in Buffalo, very common name in the city of Buffalo. Hey, Jay.
Well, my comment has to do with a few weeks ago, there was a vote by the legislators, and the net effect, if I understood the news reports right, and the reporting by our journalists and everyone, is that it actually extended the power of the governor on making autocratic decisions,
yes,
as I call it.
That's exactly what it did. It let the governor continue to have control of his executive orders that he already had, that he's already made, which is pretty much... Go ahead, sorry.
They were also due to end at the April... His power was going to end...
April 30th.
On the 30th. And the legislators voted to extend it. But that isn't what they ever said, as far as I can recall. I don't recall one legislator coming on the air there and saying, we're going to extend his powers. And we have lawyers who are our legislators. We have one who's a former federal prosecutor, Wallace. We have Sean Ryan. We have a judge up here from on Grand Island or Niagara Falls. Where were the lawyers in reading the effect of this whole thing?
Yeah, Jay, I will say this. You are correct. Those that extended the power of the governor haven't been very vocal about doing that. They did. Again, I will give credit where credit is due. They did take away the food with drink mandate. That was not the governor. That was the legislatures in Albany. But, you know, in March, we were told all his powers would be taken away. I appreciate the call. We were told all his powers would be taken away. That proved to not be what that bill was about because he still had control over the executive orders. Well, the executive orders are what that's everything when it comes to COVID-19. So he still had all this power and still does over his executive orders, minus the food with beverage mandate. But he is still running the show. They've taken back a little bit of power, but he's still running the show. And you want to know what those in Albany think of you, the taxpayers? Well, all you have to do is go back to Monica Wallace, who told Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski, pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing, that we can't trust people to make their own decisions. And that's why they have to have the restrictions. She said, look at what's gone on. We can't, and I'm paraphrasing, this is not an exact quote, but she pretty much said, we can't let people live their lives. We have to step in and have regulations. We have to listen to the experts. Well, I have yet to hear the expert who said, when you eat something while drinking, you can't get COVID-19. Because that hurt local businesses for so long in this area. And I'd like to know the expert that said, this would be a good idea. Let's make sure you have to eat before. Let's go to Medina. Medina, Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon.
Joe, long time no talk.
Long time no talk indeed. What do you got for us?
All right. I look at the shots as a dose of antibiotics. Okay.
That's what it is.
Right. Well, in a form. All right. As far as, how do I want to put this? I'm trying to think how I want to put this. I don't think it's going to kill you. I had mine, and I had a little bit of a reaction. I come down a day later. I don't know how everybody's, if everybody's having the same things or not. My wife had no problem at all because we had them the same day. I would just tell everybody, do it. Because I don't think I really don't think it's going to kill you. It should. You may have that less than 1% that might have some kind of reaction to it. No matter what, you're going to have casualties.
All right, Daryl, I appreciate the call. That's Daryl in Medina. Hey, COVID-19 could be fatal. The vaccines have proven to be safe. Yes, after my second shot, as Daryl said with him, after my second shot, I took the day off, laid in bed. I could have probably come to work, but it was better, just a little groggy, a little tired the next day. Since then, I felt fine. I've been going to the gym. I haven't noticed anything off there. I've been living my life. And, since that day after the second shot, I have felt fine. And like I said, I am ready to go back to a crowded bar. I'm ready to go to a crowded event. I hope my wedding is a crowded event, almost 4 months away. So I feel safe. I feel the vaccine was effective. I know people who have been in crowded situations that someone there had tested positive for COVID. Guess what? Those with the vaccine didn't get COVID. They went and got tested, didn't get COVID. So off those several experiences I've heard of friends of mine, I trust the vaccine is effective against COVID. But I think it all boils down to who's in charge of you. Are you in charge of you, or is Governor Cuomo in charge of you? And that's the point I'm making with the SUNY schools. And Governor Cuomo saying that you have to be vaccinated to go into the building, to go to school. I think that's a complete overreach. I think it plays into this obsession of making everyone get a vaccine. And that's not the government's job. The government's done their job. They have told you the risks of getting the virus. That's their job. Their job is to inform. They have informed you. Yes, before a vaccine, okay, maybe capacity limits were the way to go. Maybe wearing a mask at the grocery store, that was the way to go. You have a vaccine now. You brag about how much vaccine we've got. So if everyone that is eligible can get the vaccine, what's your next move? Closing us down again until everyone gets it? I'm just amazed by this obsession that everyone has to get it. If you get it, good. You got it. Why do you care if the person next to you has it? When we come back, guess what? The last hour, we're not talking about COVID-19. Can you believe that? An hour COVID-less on WBEN.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.